Today's Sunday, May the 17th already, right? Wow. May 17th, 2026. We're going to begin this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. In verse 1, God says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And the only way to not be ignorant of spiritual matters is from a right understanding of the Scriptures, what God's Word says. Next week, we are going to celebrate the event of Pentecost, which is recorded in Acts chapter 2. And there are a lot of Christians who don't understand why that particular day was a really big deal. Many see it simply as an account where these 12 apostles spoke in tongues. So this morning, we're going to briefly consider the great significance of that day of Pentecost. So if you turn to Genesis chapter 2, kind of a brief review of why that day of Pentecost was a really big deal. Genesis chapter 2, easiest book in the Bible to find, right? All right, so we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Human beings have a physical body made up of the elements of the earth, formed from the dust of the ground. There's really no argument with that. Everybody knows that. Our bodies are made from the elements of the earth, right? The dust of the ground. In addition there in that verse, it says that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And as a result, man became a, it says, living soul. So, a physical body, and then a soul. And breathing is what gives the physical body life. When someone takes their last breath, there's no more soul life. They die. We're not going to turn to it, but you can look at it sometime. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 17. Young man got sick, and it says, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. No more soul life. And in Hebrew, the word soul is the word nephesh. Animals and birds have souls, nephesh. Look at, back up a chapter, chapter 1. They have soul life. They breathe. In chapter 1, in verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, soul, nephesh, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature. The word creature is that same word, nephesh. Every living soul that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So what we learn here is human beings and the animals were designed to have a physical body and soul life, breath life. And if no more breathing, there's no more soul life, they die. Now we look at verse 27 here in chapter 1. So God created man, it's not talking about the animals or the birds, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And here's where some misunderstanding starts with his own image. What is the image of God? It said he created them in his own image. Jesus Christ in John chapter 4 said, God is spirit. And also in his resurrected body, Jesus Christ said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like you see me have. We saw in chapter 2 that nephesh, soul life, breathing, is what gives the physical body its life. So does God, who is spirit, according to Jesus Christ, I wouldn't want to argue that point. That's what he said. So does God, who is spirit, have breath life, a soul, nephesh? No, God is spirit. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. God gave them spirit. So in addition to having a physical body and breath life, nephesh, soul life, man and man only, uniquely, not the animals. The animals had physical body and they had soul life, but man uniquely had the spirit of God because he was created in the image of God, which is spirit. They had the spirit of God. And so that gave human beings, Adam and Eve, two life forms. They had soul life, and they also had spirit life. It's really noteworthy and very significant that the very first mention of human beings in the Bible, where God created man in his own image, the first mention of human beings created in the image of God, with spirit. This was God's original plan for human beings. Animals had soul life, but they didn't have God's spirit. They didn't have spirit life. Having the Spirit of God gave them a connection with God Almighty, with the Creator, a relationship with them. And the confusion between soul and spirit has caused a lot of misunderstanding. But having this Spirit of God in them gave them a connection with God and enabled them to have a relationship with God. And in chapter 2, if you turn there, we get a little glimpse of this relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. In chapter 2, verse 19, it says, 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. And look what God did. Brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. God brought the animals to Adam and said, okay, Adam, what do you want to call this one? Look at that relationship. What a close working relationship they had. So what does all this have to do with Pentecost? Everything. Everything. Before they sinned, God said in Genesis 1:31 that everything was very good. That's what it says in chapter 1, verse 31. Before the fall, there was no sickness. There's no sickness mentioned before the fall. There's no death mentioned before the fall. No negatives before the fall. There was no sin. There was no need for a Savior before the fall. There was only one thing that they were not allowed to do. And let's look at that in verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Not soul life, because Adam lived for some 900 years after this. So it wasn't his soul life when God said, in the very day you eat of it, you will surely die. Not soul life. They lost the Spirit of God. They lost spirit life. And the loss of life is indicated by the word death. They had no more spirit life. That's not what God intended for human beings. That's what they lost. God's original intention for human beings was, number one, they would have his spirit, which would give them a connection with God, which would enable a relationship with God. And number two, God intended for human beings to live forever. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 22. 3:22. And the Lord God said, behold, this is after they sinned. The Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, look at this, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and, what does it say? Live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. They lost the access to the tree of life. And having access to the tree of life, they would live forever. That very day they died, not physically, they lost spirit life, their connection with God, and they no longer had access to the tree of life, which would have enabled them to live physically forever. All of the very good that God set up for human beings was ruined. But God was not defeated. God put in a plan to redeem mankind, to provide a savior for mankind, to pay the penalty for what Adam did. And we're talking now about God's high court of justice. Adam's sin required the full payment of the sacrifice of a perfect man, a redeemer. And God was not going to let this disaster. God provided something very wonderful, a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to Romans chapter 5, not understanding, and I know we just briefly looked at it, we could take a couple hours to look at it, but not understanding what we just looked at in Genesis, difference between soul and spirit, created in the image of God, the disaster that resulted because of Adam's sin, not understanding that, you'll never get to the point of seeing how Pentecost was a huge deal. So we're going to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were, this is before we got born again, when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look at God's love for human beings. You wonder why sometimes. How could God love us so much? He does. He does. Very few realize the consequences that Adam's sin brought to all human beings. It says we were without strength. That can't be physical strength. It's spiritual strength. No spiritual strength. It says we were ungodly, meaning we didn't have God. Why did we not have God? Because we did not have his spirit. It says we were sinners. We were born with a sin nature. Verse 9, if you would. Much more than being now justified by his blood, meaning the death that Jesus Christ paid for us, we're now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The wrath that it's talking about here is, there's so many details here in Romans 5, it's just gorgeous. But the wrath that it's talking about here is judgment that's coming. We have been saved from the judgments to come. And you'll see why as we read through this. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that's being saved from the wrath to come. Because of Adam's sin, every human being is born separated from God. Why are we separated? There's no connection. There's no spirit life. You know, if we weren't born separated from God, why would we need to be reconciled? Separation is the opposite of being reconciled. We were separated, but it says we're now reconciled. Verse 11, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Same word as reconciled. We've now received the reconciliation. We've been reconciled back to God. We're no longer separated. Wherefore, verse 12, and as we go through this, God is showing us the consequences of one man, Adam, the results of another man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Before the fall, everything was very good. But Adam's disobedience brought sin into the world. And in this verse 12, it says, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. In the Greek, the definite article is there with the word death. You don't see it in the English. And with the definite article there, it sets that death apart from all other deaths. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and the death by sin, and so the death passed upon all men. The death as opposed to all other deaths. What death would you think it be talking about since we're talking about Adam? The loss of spirit life. That's the death it's talking about. Adam's sin brought the death. We're all born without spirit life. And if we're talking in that context of being born without spirit life, then before we got born again, we were dead spiritually. Ephesians 2 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ, by grace you're saved. Yes, physical death did come later as a result of no longer having access to the tree of life. Another result of their disobedience. But this death here in Romans 5 that passed upon all people is a loss of spirit life or no spirit life. And the loss of life or no life is indicated by death. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin's not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, the death, no spirit life, reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, no spirit life, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. The gift by grace is the gift of Holy Spirit, which first became available to anyone and everyone on the day of Pentecost. Verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense, that'd be Adam, for if by one man's offense the death reigned by one, right? Everybody born, it reigned by everyone, no spirit life. For if by one man's offense the death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Adam brought condemnation to all of mankind. Jesus Christ opened the door for justification or righteousness. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The Greek word that's translated here, condemnation, that word only comes up three times in the Bible. We've just read two of them. And it literally means a guilty verdict. A guilty verdict. Because of Adam, we were all born with a guilty verdict because we were born separated from God, without God, unrighteous before God, ungodly, born without the Spirit of God. That's what Adam brought upon the whole human race. Condemnation, a guilty verdict, And from our point of view, we could say, that's not fair. I wasn't there. If I was, I certainly wouldn't have disobeyed God. We're talking again about God's high court of justice. Adam was the head of the whole human race. His actions affected the whole human race. You know, just like a leader of a country, his actions could drastically affect all the people in his country, couldn't they? Yeah, that's happened in history once or twice. Sure. Because of Adam, every human being received a guilty verdict, condemnation. But the third time this word is used is in Romans 8:1, talking about those who are born again. It says there is therefore now no condemnation, no more guilty verdict for those who are born again. Isn't that amazing? That's what Jesus Christ did. He repaired and paid the price for all of the consequences of Adam's sin. Those who accept Christ, those who are born again, for those people who accept Jesus Christ and get born again, there's no more guilty verdict. That's why it says we're justified. We're made righteous in the sight of God. By our works? No, by Jesus Christ's work. So on the one hand, we could say, well, that's not fair. We got condemnation from Adam. On the other hand, is it fair that we just get righteousness and all the great benefits from just accepting Jesus Christ? God made it so easy. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where the sin abounded, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto the death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at the contrast between the death, loss of spirit life, and eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God's original plan for human beings was ruined. God never intended for human beings to be separated from Him. Adam, his sin brought very serious legal consequences in God's high court of justice. But God devised a plan, a Savior, a Redeemer, one who would pay the full price. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was God's motivation for all of this? Love. Love. Remember John 3:16, most famous verse of the Bible. I was in a hotel once and got one of those Bibles that was in there, and I looked in the back and it had John 3:16 in about 150 languages. I couldn't understand them, but I knew what John 3:16 said. God so loved the world, not talking about the trees and the bees and the flowers. God so loved human beings that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. His motivation was love. Love. I mentioned this before, that Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you're saved. We were dead spiritually because no spirit life. But when we got born again, God made us alive. Spirit life. Not physically, spiritually alive. And that's because when we got born again, we received God's Spirit. And we'll see that in Ephesians 1 if you turn there. Ephesians 1. Romans chapter 5, we could easily just spend a couple of hours going through Romans 5. And it's one of those sections in God's Word that's just loaded. And sometimes it takes reading it over and over and over. And then I know that some of you have read this chapter 5 of Romans before and maybe heard teachings on it, but that's okay for us to review it and look at it again. The more you look at it and read it, the bigger it gets. The bigger it gets. I know when I first got around Bible study, Romans 5, I was like, read it, and I'm like, that's cool, I guess. I just But the more you look at it, the more the pieces start getting bigger and bigger, and it's like, my goodness, this is fantastic. But look what happened when we got born again. Ephesians 1:13, it says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. We first have to hear it. And then it says, in whom also after that you believed. After that you believed. A person can't believe God's word until they hear God's word. But once you hear God's word, then it's up to you to what? Yeah, choose to believe it or not. In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God had been waiting a long time to get Holy Spirit back available and in human beings. Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14. That Holy Spirit of promise that's in us is the earnest. It's the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession when Christ returns unto the praise of his glory. The moment a person gets born again, at that moment they receive God's gift of Holy Spirit. They obtain eternal life along with all the rights, privileges, and abilities that God's word talks about in the church epistles. Oh my goodness. It took the completed work of Jesus Christ to make that available. Until the day of Pentecost came, God's Spirit was not freely available. People couldn't just go, wow, I'd like to have God's Spirit. I know Adam lost it, but I'd like to have it. It was not freely available. But God did, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, at times, God graciously gave His Spirit to other people. Moses was one of those. And if you're familiar with Numbers chapter 11, God told Moses, you need some help. And God told Moses, I'm going to put my spirit on 70 elders so that they would have God's spirit, they would have a connection with God, and by utilizing the spirit of God, they'd be able to help Moses to take care of God's people. You know what? One of the things Moses said in that record, he said, would God that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Moses was looking forward to a day. And Moses' thoughts were, wouldn't it be great if all God's people had the spirit? And that's what God was working towards. That day came on the day of Pentecost, which is recorded in Acts 2, and that day is the day that God planned for, the day that God waited for, when His gift of Holy Spirit would be available to anyone who did two things, accept the Lord Jesus. Confess with your mouth, it says in Romans, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Confess means to accept, acknowledge, agree with. Accept that Jesus is Lord of all people that ever lived. And number two, believe in the heart, God raised him from the dead. And God's word says, thou shalt be saved. Boom. That's all it takes for us. Oh my goodness, what a loving God. On that great day of Pentecost, the door was open for anyone to have what God originally intended for human beings. Number one, to have His Spirit so that they could have a connection with the Almighty, they could have a relationship with God, and number two, live forever. We have eternal life. And when Jesus Christ returns, all those who have died that are believers, those who are alive, we meet Jesus Christ in the clouds and begin eternal life. Titus 1 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised. God fulfilled His promise of reinstating or renewing Holy Spirit, and He will fulfill His promise of giving us eternal life. Not understanding some of those things that we looked at in Genesis, not understanding what the image of God is, which you hear people all the time say, we're all made in the image of God. Yeah. Really? What is His image? Spirit. No, but we're all God's children. No, we're not. See, that's why if we're going to understand spiritual matters, we got to go to the scriptures and see what God's word says. Those who are born again are God's children. Those who are not, aren't. That should be really easy for us as parents to understand. All of my kids are my kids. Your kids are not my kids. My kids are not your kids. That's why it's called the new birth. Born again. Born of God. That makes us his children. We're going to close in Titus chapter 3 if you turn there. Not understanding what we looked at in Genesis. Not understanding the image of God. Not understanding the difference between soul and spirit. Not understanding the devastating consequences of Adam's sin. Not understanding that you'll never see Pentecost as a really big deal. You just won't. But on that day of Pentecost, after the 12 received God's gift of Holy Spirit, and as it says, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's Acts 2, 1 through 4. After that, Peter preached, and he told those people listening to them, he said, "You shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit, for the promise of God renewing Holy Spirit. The promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off." Yay, that'd be us. "And even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And that day about 3,000 people got born again and received God's gift of Holy Spirit. That was 2,000 years ago. Today, still, it's available for anyone who confesses Jesus as Lord and believes in the heart God raised him from the dead. You, just like on the day of Pentecost, you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit. And when a person does that, like we read in Ephesians, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. They have God's gift of Holy Spirit. They're saved. They have eternal life. They have all the rights, privileges, and abilities that God's word says, and they have the ability to operate all 9 manifestations. I know this was kind of a brief review, but hopefully you can maybe see a little bigger how Pentecost is really a big deal, because that's the day that it was made freely available to anyone. And there's so much in God's word, especially in the book of Acts and in the church epistles, about God's gift of Holy Spirit. And yet, sadly, in the Christian church, we were just talking about this before fellowship, weren't we, Mark? In the Christian church, there's so much misunderstanding, and there is a lot of wrong teaching. And that's why at the very beginning, when we looked at 1 Corinthians 12:1, God doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual matters. And the only way we're not going to be ignorant is to carefully and clearly see what God says in his word. We're closing in Titus chapter 3, verse 4. "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done." Oh, great that God reminds us of that from time to time in the scriptures. Like Ephesians says, we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. If we were saved by our works, then we could say, "I did all my works. Have you?" "Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration." Regeneration means a new birth. "By the washing of being born again, a new birth, and the renewing of Holy Spirit." God waited a long time for that, and it became available on the day of Pentecost. Next week, we'll celebrate Pentecost, and I want to share next week on an often overlooked aspect of who we are as a result of being born again, which was first made available on the day of Pentecost. Father, thank you for your great love, your mercy, your kindness to us. Father, for coming up with a great plan of salvation and redemption because you have always intended for human beings to have your spirit and live forever. I don't know why, but that's your plan. And we're so grateful to know from your word that we are born again and we have your spirit and you've given us eternal life. Until that great day when Jesus Christ comes back, Father, may we just live our lives with gratitude over your love for us, gratitude for all our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And Father, may we endeavor to just live our lives joyfully and have the opportunity to love and speak your word to others. Thank you for the privilege of sharing a little bit of your word this morning. I pray for everyone here. I pray for everyone on the hookup, for those that couldn't make it, and I pray for those that might hear this recording later. I pray, Father, we can all have a wonderful week ahead. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.